Now, where were
the Samba team and MathWorks Incorporation, and he will be talking on D-Trace and Samba. Welcome. Okay.
Thank you. My talk title may have been a hair vague, but the goal here is to show you how D-Trace is actually used in production. Okay? One of the things is we all know these normal system introspection utilities, IOSTAT, NETSTAT, MPSTAT, LOCKSTAT. But they really tell you one picture. They give you, like, they tell you the question. So people want to know, what is D-Trace? And this is about the answer you'll find on the internet. That is the D-Trace pony corn. And basically, as far as I can tell, a lot of people think that D-Trace is magical, like ponies and unicorns. Thus. But actually, in reality, D-Trace does have a philosophy, and D-Trace does have a way that it works. The first thing about D-Trace is it is production safe. Okay? I log in on production servers and run D-Trace all the time. This isn't like, oh, we're setting up a server for testing. This is, no, this server is slow. Why is it slow? And get on that machine and figure out why it's doing it right now at my site, okay? No impact when not in use, okay? And even when in use, the impact is pretty minimal. But the big difference is it's about asking questions more than it is being told your answer. So you need to have some idea where you're aiming. You need to have some idea of the thoughts. So basically, you're building your own whatever to get that answer out of the system. And this is a huge philosophical change from the other tools you're used to. Okay? There's a list of basically the providers, which are the questions you can ask. The main providers you'll actually see in use are FBT, which is actually used to do function-based tracing, which is kernel. You'll see syscall, tracing the system call boundary, profiler. You'll see some PID, you'll see some USDT. Tick is you really use just to as an administrative function. But I mean, there's literally another 10 of these. You can find stuff for ZFS, IO, you name it. It's probably in there or you can build it. That's the whole point. And there's a whole language behind this. You might ask, why a language? Because you're about to insert tracing into spots in the kernel and all other types of things. And they want to make sure what you're doing is relatively safe. You know, you can't go inserting for loops in the middle of the kernel and make people happy. Not on production systems. So it's specifically constructed to have no loops. The number of probes on my little VM on this machine is about 62,000. On one of my production boxes, it was like 74. Has global variables, associative arrays. That's just the way the language works. It's not a very complicated language, as you'll see on the next few slides. Okay, these are one-liners that I'd actually use. Okay. The first one is actually counting the system calls through the syscall provider, of every time you enter a system call, then the executable is an SMBD name, count it. When I hit Control C, it'll actually dump a list of all the system calls that were called, you know, name, sorted, and just say, here's the guy on top, here's the guy on the bottom, let's go. The next two, while they look the same, they have two different real uses. Use stack refers to the user land, and stack refers to the kernel. Use stack here, so for instance, this would profile all the user processes at 1001 hertz. You always, with D-Trace, will profile it at a number of hertz, not a multiple of 10, for your own good, mainly so you don't catch anything that's happening on the tick. Otherwise, you can get weird harmonics in your data, and it looks bad. So you'll always see when people run D-trace, it'll be like 1001, 997, 97, 101 hertz. And this is why you'll see it. And here you can actually see where I was profiling SMBD, and I wanted to know, hey, what's it actually calling? What's it doing? A big limiter to USTAC in reality is that the process still has to exist for you to get named symbols out of it. And if it doesn't, you get garbage stacks. So now, raw D-trace data tends to be pretty verbose. I'll show some in a little bit. But the actual visualization I tend to prefer nowadays is a flame graph. Okay, it really helps us visualize any stack counting results, of which I often end up looking at quite a bit. And it in some ways will make more sense when you see it. Okay, so here we go. I believe that's over there. So here, well, actually, let me go over to the first tab. Feel a little illusion on me. Pardon me, I can't see half as well as I want to here. There it is. Bumped it. Am I having one of those days today? Yes. Back over here with you. Okay, so this is actually the system. This is the actual kernel side graph from our second generation, from one of our second generation file servers running our fairly standard workload. So you can actually, if I come down here, you can actually see here you're seeing IXGBE, which is our Ethernet driver, driving up through the MAC and the IP layers. You can see all the system calls we're executing. You can see pretty much the entirety of NFS, because we serve NFS, all types of stuff in here to give you some meat to dig in. If you see anything that's truncated, like right in here, if you actually mouse over, it would display right here. So you'd actually be able to get the full statistics out. Let me see if I can flip mirror mode on so it's a little easier. Please mirror them. There we go. Go away. So here, maximize. So for instance, here you can, well, if I scroll down. Here you can actually see, you know, this is how long I'm spending as you go up the stack on the various calls. This will make a bigger difference as I go on. The presenter. Okay. So note, almost all the data gathering was done on real production boxes. I think I might have used a test box that was doing production work, for one. And you really minimize the impact. Less used functions, and these are all pretty short traces, actually. So first example case we'll go into, and this is actually one I had to track down. Too many system calls. I'm seeing 4 to 5 million system calls a second. And I ran on the simple thing I showed you, and I found out, what are they? So I see a whole bunch of FCNTLs calls. And this is when I first got an inkling of the problems that Volker mentioned with the mutexes. Because when if you break that FCNTL call down one more time, you'll discover that all the 99.9% of it is locking on TDB files. Okay, but there's another question. What's calling it? Can we fix it? And this is where I actually went ahead and took a deeper look. Okay, I went ahead and took a look at what's going on the machine here. And this here is actually the graph I got back. I think I'm mirrored now, correct? Yeah, good. So one of the things you begin to see if you look across this graph, and it was more obvious when I actually read the stacks, and I can show you those too, is that server ID exists starts showing up a lot. Server ID exists, server ID exists. Let's see here, so 11%, another 13%. It's even in some of these other areas, actually. And you just start finding it in lots of places. And when I did a breakdown of the actual callers to FCNTL, I found the vast majority of them were going against session ID.tdb. I did that by actually using a dtrace on the FCNTL call, tracing by file descriptor, because it'll open all the databases on the same descriptors every time. So I was actually able to establish it's this. I can actually find these hot paths here. And once that path was found, back over to PowerPoint. Once we find the path, I actually found that many of them were asking, does the current process exist? Believe it or not. And this is the first of many, this is the first of two real run-throughs of server ID exists that I had. So this actually, the results you're seeing here are post that patch. That patch cut like, I think between 20 and 50% of them out. Okay. So you're actually seeing the results after some work was done. Okay. Literally, we had processes asking if they existed. And, well, they know if they exist. Okay? But there's even more in here. It turns out that all of this stuff to go into this TDB really amounted to trying to do a lookup of a single 64-bit integer to confirm that it matches the value it expects. This is how you detect that if a process, so we're on a Unix system, PIDs get reused. We want to know that this SMBD we're thinking has a lock is the one that's currently active. Okay, because it marks the PID in the database. And it marks what its ID is. So with those two things, now you go and you do a lookup. What I did is I went ahead, Volker did some work here. He actually worked with Robust Mutexes. And he actually inverted the control flow and did a really nice job. I have not had a chance to actually run it yet. What I did was something a bit simpler. I just created a large mmapped file, about 8 meg in size, and mapped everything. So that really, because all you're doing is you're writing a single value, and then you're just reading it back for checking. So now it's just an array that everybody maps. And that removed the locking. Because now there is no TDB to lock on. It's out of the path. It can't be a problem. There's a secondary thing on locking.tdb that also cut the traffic way down. Okay, it's actually something to do with find and the exact times you return. Turns out the inconsistency is not going to bother us much semantically, so we went on. And these are the actual results. Note, the raw counts aren't what matter here. You're looking at the ratios. Okay, these are not the same amount of time. But you can see where stat went from, you can actually see where FCNTL went from being the big boy to now, it's not what I'm looking for. Not the big deal anymore. So here, we're going to go. We call lseek within the directory code, within all types of stuff. I've actually looked at lseek. I can talk to you about it after. It happens to have not, it was not the result I decided to write about. It was one of two possibles that I could have written about after this, but I decided the other one was more interesting. But yes, it turns out though that if you pull on the LC cord hard enough, you figure out that, I'll show it in the next set of slides. So another problem I just hit is the CPU is maxed on my box. This is a 32 CPU, 2.9 gigahertz Intel box. It shouldn't be maxed on CPU most of the time if we're doing things right, and certainly not at this low an op count. Okay, this is abysmally low for us. I really want to see that more in the 80 to 100K range before we max out on that box. Okay, and so the next thing I did is I said, well, maybe it was just pushing a lot of traffic. Well, packets per second don't show anything outrageous. This doesn't look off. I've seen the machine push 300 to 400K without any issues. Bandwidth, once again, doesn't look bad. Nothing here. This is on dual 10 gig links. Nothing looks outrageous here. And the next question is, where are we locking too much? This is a common graph I look at, which displays the number of system calls in blue that we're issuing per second. And the other one's the number of misses you will take trying to grab a mutex. Typically, if that flatlines, you've got a problem, has been our experience. Okay? The green line being flat here is the actual issue. That line should not be that way. It should track the other line fairly carefully as you see, as you head towards Sunday 4, more towards after Sunday 12 p.m., you can see more how it's correlating correctly. But during the 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. block, really the correlation's poor at best. And I looked at NFS. Maybe it was to blame. No. So here, I'll actually drill down and show you what's going on using the way I'd look at these tools. So the first thing I did is I pulled up a trusty copy of Lockstat. Okay, and I said, what's locking? Okay, this ran for 3 seconds. And the thing you'll see is that stat. Okay, to break this down here, the individual, this is how many times it was done during the interval. Individual's percentage of the calls. Cumulative is, as you go down the list, how much it represents as I add each stack in. So, you know, this is a call on stat. Okay, you can see syscall stat, and then you can see it's going through and doing some lookups. This is specifically looking up, do I have permission to do something? That's why you're seeing the credentials path. Okay, same thing here. Same thing here. Still going. Wow, same thing here. Oh, here's the kill. Kill finally showed up. Oh, same thing here. We're still going. Same thing here. Oh, finally hit NFS. But note that barring kill, we've basically almost consumed 50% of our locking time in stat. This, to me at least, especially when I see it this way, was a red flag. Okay, why am I chewing up this much locking in stat? And that was the next question, is what actually is going on? So I pulled out the tools and said, please show me a listing of all the, please give me a stack of all the stack calls in Samba for a given duration. Okay, and this is what I got back. Okay, these are sort of the things that I started to look at. I said, well, here, they're all coming out of find. You know, there's some. And out of create. These are the two big paths, but I mean, this is the big one. I mean, that's 65 to 70% of my calls. Okay, so, but you'll note I was talking about credentials before and how it was doing a lookup. Turns out that our directory hierarchies are kind of deep. 6, 7 levels isn't unheard of at all. 8, 10, 15 won't surprise me. So when we do a stat in Samba right now, we present the whole path to the system. And so it has to go check piece A, piece B, piece C, piece D, piece A, onwards. And then finally check the file for every file in the directory. And we have, could have 50 files there, 100 files there. This is a huge waste. Okay, all the time you're seeing over in here, where you see these credential lockings, are basically that lookup being done. And those are the dominant ones you'll notice. Okay, the other ones are kind of small and in there, but I mean, you take a look at the big boys, they're all in looking up, they're all in actually doing that name traversal. So the next thing to do is you say, well, okay, that's interesting, but really, how much is it worth? What we get back if we actually remove these calls? Okay, because that's really what my manager is going to care about. He wants to know, what's it worth if you fix it? So this is actually the stacks. This is the kernel-side stack off the same machine. Okay, we can see that the idle time on this machine in the kernel right now is running, what, about 27%. The machine is not totally max. We don't totally max machines even when at max. We've learned that lesson. So I'm sitting here looking at stat being 25%. I'm looking at traverse being 16%. You can see how much of this is the credentials stuff. It's all tied up in here now. And this looks like just the standard, oh, I'm getting the stat piece. This is the waste. As far as where is, it'll be one of these guys. It's one of the little guys. Here's LSeq showing up. Even though it's being called a ton, it's only showing up at 0.83% in the kernel. So if I have to choose what to worry about as a programmer, I'm much more worried about over here than I am actually even about that higher number of calls. Yeah, I want to fix those calls that are waste, but this is where my money is. This is where I want to make my next set of changes, because that's where I can make a real difference. And this is all done via using the frameworks, via using the tooling to try and figure out, hey, why and how much. And this is the standard methodology I try and use when trying to fix these performance issues we hit routinely. Not that hitting them routinely is good, but we do. So my conclusion is that stats causing a problem. I'd say we're looking at least 10% improvement if we fix this easy. I said if.
You know what the easy fix is, don't you? I've already told you.
Yeah.
Give me a case-sensitive file system and all the stats will go away.
Not those stats. Those are from query directory. They don't go away.
Okay.
So, yeah. On the open side, you're correct. So if I go back, Jeremy's contention, and I rebutted him immediately on it, because I thought about it a little ahead of time, is he's contending that these stats here, underneath create process, will go away. And he's, if we had a case-insensitive file system, and he's correct, they'll largely go away. These stats, which are making up 70% of my workload, will not. I'll go after the 70% first, and I'll work on the case-insensitive file system part. Yeah?
So that next plane graph is after you fix the problem with fstat add, is it?
This one?
Yeah.
No. This is with everything in. This is with the problem in place. I've not had a chance to put fstat add in place.
So my question, though, is there's been a lot of discussion on one of the Linux mailing lists about a reader plus system call. Wouldn't that solve this problem?
Potentially, but it looks like looking at this, I don't see, you know, if I could take 90% of it out using a standard call.
So the reason I was asking about reverb plus is that I had an experience a few years ago
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Read the and then stat on the file and then
yep.
look up again, read the and then stat on the damn thing and so
yep. I wouldn't deny that being able to make the single traversals more efficient and just asking for everything would be great, but I'm also gonna go with I'm probably not gonna get that Linux system call in my Alumos kernel immediately. So these are the kind of reasons why I'll work with what I got right now is my feeling on this one. And this gives you the data behind why I think this is a good thing to do. Okay. Another thing we've hit is really what looks to be a random disconnect. For the life of us, we could not figure out why we were getting disconnected. Okay, I added some instrumentation to this kernel path and it said, no memory. Now, this is WriteV returning no memory to me. Okay? Okay, and it's not a documented return. I read the kernel source. It looks like it's plausible, but I want to prove it because, honestly, it's kind of goofy. So I wrote some dtrace to prove it. Okay, this will trace all the write v's on the system and tell me, literally, on return, -1, does the arno equally no mem? And this is actually pseudocode for the real code because it's actually going through the exit routine. And there's stuff you have to do to trap the actual stack instead of getting a garbage stack back because I actually wanted to establish the stack was what I expected. But we showed that it was really happening. And once we knew it was happening, the patch within Samba was trivial. But convincing yourself you have this kind of a system issue is hard. Okay, because when you see this kind of weird thing happening, even when you see it in the field, you're sitting there in disbelief. And you want some confirmation around you to tell you, yes, you know, no, it's not something. You know, well, you know, maybe it's not something in the Samba infrastructure, it's not something anywhere. You want to know, the kernel has told me this. Okay? It turns out later I've tracked it down into a root cause that's deeper still within the kernel and had to involve me pulling some drivers out. But this is the fix for Samba. And as far as going forward towards the future, Volker was talking about adding probe points and things, and I think that that's going to be a great way to go. I think that whatever's done there, I should try and work with you to make sure we can actually use it with dtrace. So we can put in dtrace probe points there and put in a Samba provider through the user level statically defined tracing system, or USDT. It's not very hard to do. It's just a matter of actually getting it all together and putting it together. Areas that interest me in particular will be the exit calls for SMBD, op locks and leases, viewing state as things happen. So you can take a look at, you know, this has sent the break, this has picked up the break, that type of stuff. And whatever else we run into. And the really nice thing is that the dtrace overhead, when the probe isn't in use, literally it's two no ops, which is pretty much nothing. And what they'll do is they'll just rewrite in the code they need to do the trap when they need it. So this gives you some idea of some of the things we're looking at going forward, some of the ways we've attacked various problems. Okay, and hopefully, as you begin to look forward, you'll see now that we're doing this instead. We're actually looking through the looking at the problem in great detail with our X-ray eyes. Okay. Got any questions or anything you want me to rewind on? Volker.
So DTrace is available on FreeBSD as well, right? That's my question.
Yes.
So in its full beauty with all?
I've heard depends on the variant. It'll also depend on what providers that FreeBSD wrote. It's also available on OS X. I've heard that there's Linux ports available. I cannot speak to their quality or veracity. Go ahead.
So apparently in like FreeBSD 9, there's full user space and kernel space DTrace, but in FreeBSD 8, there's only kernel space DTrace. Maybe the later versions have got user space DTrace.
Yep. Go ahead.
I believe Oracle Linux is shipping DTrace integrated with the kernel.
Okay.
So if you can get a copy of Oracle Linux, which I think they're giving away for free, it should have DTrace in it.
Yeah. I'm pretty positive of that.
So on the random exits, was it useful to you that Sama didn't print anything out unless you were in log level 10?
Absolutely not. In fact, I had to put in my own log.
Where's Metzer?
Absolutely not. In fact, I actually had to put in my own logging messages for a bit to track this issue. Otherwise, there's no way. You know, that's how I even figured out what the first bit was. As I recompiled and looked at it, I had no clue. I couldn't get the stacks or any of the other things I needed to really track down why these things were exiting. Because, I mean, when stuff hits the exit path, you need to know why did you go down the exit path, especially for abrupt statuses. This was pretty bad. And I actually had to rebuild and use the stack functions and whatnot to get the initial analysis done in Samba. And then I confirmed the analysis using DTrace.
Any more questions or comments?
Yeah, feel free.